Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And tonight we're going to talk about a very, very controversial subject, and that's mind control and its possible role in the UFO arena. How does mind control work? What is it there for? Who's behind it? For over 40 years, the CIA has been developing a technology of terror. Its purpose? To devise operational techniques to disturb the memory, to discredit people through aberrant behavior, to alter sex patterns, to elicit information, and to create emotional independence. Its goal? To program individuals to carry out any mission of espionage or assassination, even against their will, even against such fundamental laws of nature as self-preservation. Now, against a background of many thousands of CIA documents and many, many thousands of pages of testimony, my guest tonight is going to tell the story of our hidden government's agenda to control your minds. He will discuss the murky depths of the intelligence community and how it relates to the UFO phenomena. He is the author of Operation Mind Control. He was awarded the McMahon Scholarship in Journalism at the University of Norman, Oklahoma in 1965. He founded the New York weekly The East Village Other. That same year, he founded the Underground Press. His syndicate quickly grew to include 200 papers around the world and millions of readers. Since that time, he has edited the Aspen Daily News right here in our home state of Colorado, the Port Townsend Daily News, and the Palm Springs Life magazine. He has written numerous articles and books, founder and advisor of the Freedom of Thought Foundation. Presently, he is making a film based on the book that he is publishing, Operation Mind Control, and it's going to be an expanded and corrected version of the previously published book, The Cryptocracy's Plan to Psycho-Civilize You. So tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome Walter Bauert. Good evening, Walter.
Michael.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you for being on the program. Now, before we get started, I want to make another quick announcement here for our listeners who are connected to the World Wide Web. Here's some exciting news. Thanks to the efforts of Dean Philip Knipe, a recent graduate and current employee of Duke University, Paranet now has a web page you can access to get the latest on the BBS, MyCap, Continuum Magazine, and this radio program. Now, if you have web access, give us a call, and we'll tell you the URL. That's kind of technical jargon, of course. Dean has done an outstanding job providing his hypertext information page on our activities and organization. He says, I am still no closer to either believing or disbelieving in UFOs as intelligently controlled craft or extraterrestrial origins. What I do believe is the World Wide Web as a revolutionary communications medium. In the next year, we are going to see more and more service providers implementing SLIP and PPP connections, especially since the next version of Windows Chicago is to have these protocols built into the operating system. For many people who will be signing into these service providers as new users, this is going to be their first view into an area that deserves serious investigation and a clearer face to an uninitiated public. Dean adds that in order to utilize the World Wide Web, one must have a 14.4 baud modem or better, access to a SLIP account, a WinSoc program like Trumpet, and a web browser such as Mosaic, Cello, or Netscape. Thanks again, Dean, and well done. Now, if you want information on how to access that, give us a call at 1-800-836-6381. That's 1-800-836-6381. And we'll be able to assist you with that. And now we move on to Walter. Walter, you use a computer, don't you?
Yeah, I love it. I couldn't have done the research that in 1978 when I first started doing Operation Mind Control. It was like hard rock mining, you know.
Yeah.
I had a word processor, but there was no internet or anything else. There was no information exchange like we have today. Today I've done in about 6 months what it would have taken me years to do before.
Yeah, and it's also a big boon to people worldwide to be able to get access to this information rapidly. And I would imagine, even talking about our subject tonight, mind control, I would imagine that even some of this computer technology might be bad for the establishment for trying to keep things under control.
Well, when information travels at the speed of light, there really is no secrecy, so secrecy is obsolete, and the main reason for mind control is to sort of bury the slaves that buried the pharaoh, so to speak, to protect the secrets of the slaves that buried the pharaoh.
Uh-huh.
Today we have, with computer networks, feedback, the speed of the feedback is unbelievable, and I remember just not several months ago, there was a rumor that said Robert Anton Wilson had died. You remember that?
Sure, yes.
It was out on the net, and it didn't take very long for his neighbor to say, no, I saw him out dumping the garbage this morning. You know? And that's the kind of thing. So if you're a serious researcher or you want to be involved in the information age, which is life-transforming, I mean, when information travels at the speed of light, there is no secrecy. Also, the body becomes obsolete because you extend your senses to infinity at the speed of light, and so therefore you probably get a tattoo or maybe a plastic surgery. Who knows? Because the body is obsolete, therefore it becomes an art form. You know.
Uh-huh. So science and technology now solving the UFO puzzle as well as the research that you're doing. Now, let's talk about the research you've done, Walter. You go back several years into the research of mind control.
I started about 1973.
Okay,
and the way I started was somebody I'd known that I'd grown up with. Came back from a four-year tour of duty with the United States Air Force. He had hyperamnesia, which was a greatly enhanced short-term memory, and he had amnesia at the same time. He couldn't remember what his, you know, sister would say. Remember the time when Grandpa and us went to the baseball game or something, and he wouldn't remember that. She remembered it. She's a year older than he. She would remember it vividly, and he couldn't remember it at all. So yet he was going, he was a medical student, so, and he would take, he wouldn't take notes in school, make straight A's. But when he went to get a job that said, what'd you do in the last 5 years, he had a claustrophobic reaction. His heart would begin to beat rapidly, and his palms would sweat, and he'd have to leave the room. So he had a post-hypnotic block about what he'd done for the Air Force. After a number of years of hypnosis, he began to recall a lot of what he had done, and what he found out was he was a courier and a kind of like a human tape recorder type witness, specially trained to stand in a room where secret negotiations were going on or torture sessions were going on that couldn't be documented. They couldn't be recorded. They couldn't be photographed. But this man would photograph them with his mind and record them with his mind. And, of course, now we have these guys on television telling you for $39.95 they'll sell you the program. So it's no secret.
You're talking about those, like those little IQ machines?
No, it's like the, well, that's, you have that as well. You have some of the audiovisual and kinesthetic programming technology wrapped up in a little machine. But, no, what's that guy's name? There's two or three of them, and they say mega memory, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll train you to have a mega memory. Well, anybody can do it. It's all about second signal system and how to use your brain.
Okay. Walter, we're going to go to break now. When we come back, we're going to immerse ourselves now into the really wild stuff here with this background of mind control and some of the places that it's gone. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is author Walter Bauert. We're talking about his book, Operation Mind Control. So when we come back, like we said, we're going to talk about the darker aspects of it and get into some depth into this. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
Get the latest UFO news delivered right to your door with Continuum, the official quarterly publication of Paranet Information Services. Continuum offers a serious look at the world of ufology through hard news reports and interesting and provocative interviews with leading ufologists and investigators. There's a source and resource section to help you locate information on UFOs, plus much, much more. Each issue is also packed with information from the Paranet Information Services International Communications Network. So be informed with this comprehensive publication. Subscribe now and receive 5 issues for the price of 4. Send check or money order for $18 to Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. That's Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Do it now.
Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And my guest is Walter Bauert, author of Operation Mind Control. And welcome back, Walter. Let me set this up for our audience here. There appears to be a strong connection between intelligence community activities and the UFO research community and UFOs in general, not just the research community. But we've found some interesting parallels that go all the way back to the 40s. And
yeah, on many levels, Michael. You can talk about the intelligence community and its role in Project Blue Book and
right.
Some of the...
What has your research shown you about that?
Well... probably the same thing. I know that I've read the same books that you've read and followed over the years, and you know, the Condon report and all that, and there are some little nuances that in the future I'd like to write about, the nuances about Hynek was not the saint that everybody thought he was. And,
mm-hmm.
Can
you elaborate?
Could
you elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, that he would waste his time putting down, beating up a man that was obviously a victim of real mind control, real government mind control. That was old George Adamski. He was interviewed and he publicly just called Adamski a fool and a jerk and a buffoon.
Now, Adamski was considered to be what, a contactee?
Yeah, he was one of the first, maybe the first contactee. And of course, Zinstag, Carl Jung's niece, I
right.
believe,
mm-hmm.
wrote a book about him. Quotes my book in it and says that now that I've read Operation Mind Control, I wonder about Adamski. And then I read her book and I looked into Adamski further, and there's reason to have question. There's also reason to have a lot of question about mind control since we've gotten documents that said UFOs or flying saucers, they called them back in the 40s, would be a great thing to use for psychological operations, psyops.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the thing called the Report from Iron Mountain, which says, what are we going to call it? The Report from Iron Mountain on the possibility and the desirability of peace. In other words, when the commies aren't under the bed anymore, can we bring out the UFOs overhead, so to speak?
Now, Walter, when you're saying that, do you feel that the UFO phenomena is strictly just a psychologically based phenomena that the government is using to manipulate people, or a social engineering, if you will?
Well, no, I couldn't say. You know, I'm not. I don't think we're in a position to have the smoking gun yet, or nor have we had the government admit anything.
Well,
it's very interesting, though, because the way I look at it, it looks like a perfect psychological warfare operation. For every yes, there's a no. Have you noticed that? For every bit of documentation, there's an equally plausible amount of documentation that contradicts it.
I think 1952 was a pivotal year too for the psychological application of this.
Well, I think 1947 was the pivotal year. Apparently, there were several sightings or several crashings, or at least the lore has it that several saucers from 1943, that was during World War II, crashed. And in 1947, a sheep herder named Mac Brazel is out there, and he, you know, after seeing a lightning storm and hearing thunder and crashes in the mountains, he goes up on his horse with his dog, and he finds this wreckage of this strange material that can't be burnt or cut or hammered. Not to bore all the UFO aficionados who know this story already, but my twist is this. My look at it is this way. Brazel was taken for 8 days and held prisoner. His constitutional rights were violated.
Right.
He was allegedly, according to his family and friends, and the few he talked to, because he was a very reticent man, they put a gun to his head that wasn't loaded and pulled the trigger. They threatened his life. They threatened his children's life. And then they said, "We'll pay you money if you shut up." Well, that got to him. That got his attention. He was a hard man to convince. He was a patriot. He was a real American Westerner, you know. And he never thought of the government well after that. He said if there was ever a crashed UFO, I'd never tell them guys anything, you know. But he cashed their checks thereafter. After he moved out of that area and moved to someplace else and had the money that nobody knew where it came from to do all these things that he did. But so just imagine yourself in those days. Suddenly there's two or three ships crashing for whatever reason. And they contain little bodies, and they're little guys, aliens, or some kind of weird thing that you don't want to have anybody talking about. So you grab a guy like Brazil, and maybe you grab 10 people or 20 people or 50 people or 100 people like Mac Brazil. And you had to intimidate them, you had to use fear, you had to violate their constitutional rights. Well, in 1947, July of 1947, the Roswell crash was supposed to have taken place. One thing we do know that did happen, in September of 1947, the National Security Act was pushed through Congress with no debate.
That was in September.
September of 1947.
Mm-hmm.
Pushed through Congress with little or no debate, and no bill has ever passed through Congress that fast. I asked my intelligence sources about it. They said, well, there were perfectly terrestrial reasons for that, you know, the fear of the Soviets having the hydrogen bomb. But in history now, so many years later, we know that the United States intelligence people actually gave the Soviets the secrets of the bomb. And so there was no reason for the National Security Act. I mean, except the Cold War was used to motivate the economy.
Now, is there a possibility that the National Security Act was enacted simply, strictly for, to handle the possibility of this type of visitation from something out there?
Well, in my mind, that's the only possible thing that could justify doing something like that. Because here you had a bunch of patriots. You had a bunch of guys that won World War II. They fought the Nazis. They fought the Japanese. They risked their life to defend the Constitution of the United States. The war was over in 45. 2 years later, they throw the Constitution away and declare a state of national emergency, which we've been living in since 1947. And that's under the National Security Act. I call it a national security state. And the secrets which are locked behind the national security curtain could be anything from fusion, cold fusion, to anti-gravity flight, to back engineered, like what's his name, Lazar talks about.
Or aliens.
Or anything like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's unconstitutional. It's time that we all repealed like our parents couldn't drink alcohol. You know, it was against the law. They made a law. Nobody asked anybody what political base there was to it. Remains to be seen. But they made a law that said you couldn't buy a beer. You know, and that was called the Volstead Act. Well, after a few years, it created so much corruption, so much gangsterism that everybody agreed it should be repealed. They went to the polls, and on a state-by-state basis, they repealed the Volstead Act, and everybody could then have a beer. Well, the same thing has got to be done with freedom of speech. When you limit a person's access to information, you limit his freedom of speech, and it's an unconstitutional act. And unless they show us proof, and I think everybody would go along with it. If there were a real threat from outer space that is declared by the government, they'd get total cooperation. But this hoodwinking, this lying, this covering up for so many years, it's like the Robertson Report was a 52 study, which concluded, correct me if I'm wrong, there's nothing to fear in the UFOs, but there's a lot to fear in people's belief in the UFOs.
Okay, we got to go to break. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Give us our calls. Our lines are open. My guest is Walter Bauert, author of Operation Mind Control. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Cassette tapes of previous shows are available for $8 each, or 2 for $12, or 4 for $20. You can also order Paranet memberships and subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter. Paranet, along with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, and the Paranet and MICAP logos, along with the beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to keep this program on the air. Call now to place an order or to get more information at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe, at 1-800-UFO-6381.
The water is wide, I can cross over.
Our enormous, beautiful waters have been written and sung about for thousands of years. But we're mistaken if we believe they are so large that we could never totally pollute them, because we're close to doing just that. This is James Taylor, reminding you that everything we dump into our drains or spread on our lawns could end up in our water. That means our oceans, our lakes, our rivers, and ultimately our drinking water. So remember to use less toxic household cleaners, practice natural lawn care by composting, and using fewer chemicals. And instead of dumping your used motor oil, take it to a gas station to be recycled. That way, the single largest resource on the planet is also the most beautiful. Clean water. If we all do a little, we can do a lot.
To learn more, call 1-800-504-8484. Brought to you by the Natural Resources Defense Council, the EPA, and the Ad Council.
This is the Paranet UFO Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network dealing with the UFO phenomena, call us at area 303-429-2654 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And my guest tonight is Walter Bauert, Operation Mind Control author, and we're talking about mind control, intelligence communities, and the UFO phenomena. Give us a call, 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Now, Walter, when we went to break, we were talking about the Robertson panel. I want to kind of zero in on that a little bit. For years, we thought that the Robertson panel was a legitimate panel of scientists who were looking at the UFO phenomena. We were told seriously, but of course there were a lot of opponents to that. Captain Ed Ruppelt, the Project Blue Book design, head.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have found now that most of the scientists that were on that panel were also CIA. However,
right.
We've also discovered that there's a connection to the NSA, the National Security Agency.
Yeah.
Now, who is really behind this? Who is really, who's really running the show?
Well, my intelligence sources, I can't name them, but we've discussed this at length, and one of them said that it was analyzed, the MJ-12 documents that were circulated out a few years ago, and there's much brouhaha in the UFO community about the so-called MJ-12 documents. He said they're definitely a fraud, but he said there's no reason to believe that something like that isn't going on.
Well, you're right. A lot of people do agree that those are hoaxed papers. However, the interesting thing is, and this has been brought up in the research circles and hotly debated among everybody, is that even though the papers might be a fraud, whoever authored them did a pretty damn good job of, constructing a scenario that would probably be applicable to the real-life situation.
Yes. And I have some documents that are published in, excerpted in Operation Mind Control that were written by somebody who obviously wasn't in the MKUltra program or the Monarch program or the Green Star program or the Alien program, but was an field operative in some way. And probably the person that wrote that was a field operative and had some knowledge of it, but wasn't that close to the top.
Okay.
In other words, he didn't know how to forge the right numbers and signs and symbols on the documents to make them pass inspection.
Sure. Now, we know that they're there. I mean, we know that the intelligence people are there. What is the motivation? What is the underlying motivation?
Well, the thing that makes sense, there could be two. There could be many reasons. I mean, all of the above could be true. I mean, the way I have to look at it is one. What part of this is a manifestation of, let's call it the collective unconscious or human nature, let's call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include hoaxes. And that would also include Carl Jung's theory of the projections. That would also include Joe Campbell's thing, we don't have a myth, we need to create one, let's make a cargo cult. So,
okay.
And a lot of other things would be involved in that part of it. The second part of it would be that the government, the intelligence people are using a psyops operation, because what's the statistics now? 50 or 60% of the people believe that there are UFOs from.
I think it's probably much higher than that, though.
Maybe higher than that.
Yeah.
Someplace else. Whereas now it's 90% believe that the assassination of Kennedy was a conspiracy and that we had a coup d'état. Nobody is waiting around for the official. You can't file a Freedom of Information Act on this. They're not going to admit it. They're going to pull a limited hangout just like they pulled on the weather balloon at Roswell. The cover story was it was a weather balloon. Here it is 40, 50 years later. They ask him again. They say, well, we lied. It was a sophisticated weather balloon,
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to pull that, and that doesn't hold water, and now they're going to try another one, and they're never going to admit it. And I was told that even right now in the CIA, they're burning the midnight oil late at night, Xeroxing phony documents to give to future FOIA researchers. The third part of the scenario, possibility, at least from my thinking, is that there could be, it could be, yes, we've interviewed a lot of mind control victims who have talked about alien programming. And the programmers talk about screens and scrambles, that this person will be telling you real intelligence stuff, real situations, And then he'll drift off into, and the little gray, little big-eyed gray alien said to me, and everybody stops listening and says, bourgeois, to the guy. So it's called screens and scrambles, the way it's used. Many abductees now are also describing human people in military-type uniforms, very earthling-like people involved. So that, so it could be that some of the things that we're hearing about are just pure government intelligence intervention, dabbling with the human mind, and violating. It's a terrible violation, like rape. And then there could also be the other thing that is, could be like something we've seen in Stargate. Eh? See the movie Stargate?
I haven't seen that yet.
I saw it last night. It's really quite something.
Uh-huh.
And it rings all kinds of bells in people because it goes back to the Egyptian time. It's almost like Sitchin's writing, about the Anunnaki. But it could be that behind the government is this other higher, more wise, super powerful, high technology
agency,
civilization, either interdimensional or coming from the future in time or extraterrestrial or other, whatever we haven't thought of yet.
Maybe something like Arthur Clarke's A Childhood's End.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is if we are confronting something such as that, I know in the last 3 years I've been doing a lot of research. Since I started talking to people that were disassociated identity disordered people, and they make total sense on some levels, and then they have these personalities that are programmed to, as they were programmed as children, as during their recovery, period, they're unraveling this and remembering.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, they were little children. They were put inside of little costumes, of gray costumes. But it was super technological. Like today we can do it, but it's amazing, like in the 50s, to think that they had this technology that was articulated hydraulics and electronics so that these little 3 or 4 year old kids could manipulate these little gray big-headed bug-eyed aliens to scare some guy under sodium amytal or whatever he was in a cave with a phony set, a UFO set behind him, and convince this guy that he'd been abducted. In March in Dallas we're having a symposium. One of the guys, the deprogrammers that I know, has bragged, and I'm going to see if he can pull this off or dare do it. I mean, there's some legal questions about getting a form and getting the person to sign a release to do this, but he says that he can give an alien abduction with missing time and all the rest, everything that has been described in like 30 minutes on the stage in front of an audience of 200 through the normal mind control technology, which uses the stun, what amounts to a stun gun.
Wow. We got to go to another break. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Walter Bauert. We're talking about his book, Operation Mind Control. So stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. We'll be right back.
Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These are free, pocket-sized guides giving you information about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio frequencies, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, and local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at area 303-669-1800.
Listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. Call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Walter Bauert. We're talking about mind control and the implications that it has for the UFO phenomena. And let's go ahead and we got a caller online. And we'll take that, and then I want to talk about the psychotronics aspect, a word that comes up a lot lately in mind control and UFO research. So let's go to Ron from KNRY in Monterey, California. Good evening, Ron.
Yeah, hi. I was going to ask your guest, it sounds like you're explaining away the actual presence of an alien, of alien beings on our planet and real UFOs to just the... government using it as mind control. That's what I'm getting out of it, but how do you feel about an actual alien presence or even alien bases on our planet?
Well, thanks. I heard you correctly. I'm not trying to explain away the anything. It's quite possible that anything could be true, to tell you the truth, the way I look at it. But there's no question that there is definitely government creation of some of these incidents. And collaboration, if there's aliens there, it's the government's collaborating with them. And if there's no aliens out there, then the government's doing it.
Okay. I think, too, Walter, when we're talking about this kind of stuff, I think that I agree with you that there is an awful lot of the cover-up has geared toward trying to conceal the actual truth of this, but on the other hand, one of the things that I've theorized is that one of the things they might be doing with actual people who have had alleged contact with entities or an intelligence of some kind, I think that one of the things that they're trying to do is they're trying to discredit them, and they use mind control to do that.
Well, yeah, that's one of the uses, indeed. The Men in Black thing is part of it, and we may be in way over our head. I mean, security curtain or the national security state. Behind the national security curtain can lurk all kinds of fantastic things, ability to erase memory and ability to enhance it, as well as a variety of other things. And we don't know. Until we repeal the National Security Act, we're not going to know. So I think that anybody that wants to find out whether there are extraterrestrials among us or not has got to join us in the Freedom of Thought Foundation and state by state form a chapter in your state and begin to work to repeal the National Security Act.
Now, another question I have, and this seems to also have an intelligence implication as well. What about the interest that the government has in the metaphysical aspect of it? Now, the reason I'm asking you that is because there is evidence that there is someone within the government that is looking at the metaphysical aspect of this, and there appears to be some type of an agenda with that.
Yeah.
Is there a connection?
Well, we have both sides. The government's doing both things. One, it's been funding a lot of research for many, many years into telepathy and remote viewing and a number of things. And at the same time, it's been debunking and trying to deny and cover up that those things are possible. I believe that so-called extrasensory perception, or whatever you want to call it, is every man's birthright. I think we all have the, if anybody can do it, we can all do it. And I think probably most of us have at one time or another had deja vu or some kind of one of these great experiences.
Now, we understand that there are people, though, in the government that are trying to at least utilize research into what I call esoteric technologies, trying to maybe harness the power that's there, if there is any.
Well, you know, remember J.B. Ryan's research back in the 50s at Duke University? He was the guy that developed the cards that was used in Ghostbusters, you know, the card game with the triangles and the basic simple things to test telepathy. He found out that there was a huge percentage of people that were so-called telepathic, and yet the CIA, who funded that project for all those years, denied that there was anything to it.
Now, see, we're hearing about that too at the at Stanford Research. Allegedly, some of that investigation that they did into, you know, some of these things like remote viewing and that kind of thing have been discredited, but have, according to some other people that we've talked to, have been driven into deeper cover to continue exploitation of it.
I met a man who was a remote viewer quite by accident. He told me an amazing story about being inside of, right over in your area, in that NORAD site. What's it called? Cheyenne Mountain? Over there, by in Colorado Springs. Are you there,
Mike? Yes, it is Colorado Springs.
Yeah. Okay. He went inside there as a remote viewer, and there was some sort of ray that trapped him in place, and bells went off. And this was back in the 70s. He told me this. And he saw Tesla generators that were trying to pump magnetic waves through the earth to affect the outcome of an election somewhere.
Okay.
And so I thought, gee whiz, if they're really doing that, let me call Ingo Swan and see what we could do, a remote viewing for citizens, for democracy, so to speak. So I called up Ingo in New York, and I told him what I had in mind. And he said, oh, my God, he could just hear that I pushed all of these panic buttons. He was scared to death. And he said, oh, my God. He said, the CIA, they're not all bad. They're not all bad. And he sort of got rid of me pretty quick off the phone.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take another call. We've got Rocky from KCNR in Salt Lake City. Good evening, Rocky.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good. I was curious with the caller that I was just listening to. He was talking about a UFO cover-up with the government, and I was just curious, if the government was involved in any way, why have we been on a technological standstill for 20 years now?
Well, I don't think we are in a technology. You said technological standstill?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think we are in a technological standstill. I think probably there's all kinds of machines out there and all kinds of technology, including maybe cheap fusion.
Are you getting me? Because I'm getting a bad signal.
An oil man tell me, we're going to pump the, this was before the oil crisis, before the Gulf War. He says, we're going to pump the last drop of oil out of the ground at top dollar before we make a capital commitment to alternatives. And, boy, they proceeded to do exactly that. We are a fossil fuel-based economy, and any kind of new thing would upset it very much. So I think there's a national security curtain that's going on in the Western world, and that the oligarchies that control the fossil fuels and all are going to sit on it, sit on this new technology. So I don't think that there is a...
I agree with you, too, Walter. I think there's a lot of stuff that's going on behind the curtain, even,
that
we don't even know about. And there's stuff that comes out, like, for example, we hear about Area 51 in Nevada and that kind of thing.
Right, right.
You know,
And by the way, several of these people, these survivors of mind control, are talking about being there as children, and they're now in their 40s, and they're talking about being there as children. One of them told me about being there in the Area 51 and doing incredible ESP demonstrations to high-ranking government officials.
Now, do you think there really is something to all this stuff?
I definitely do. I definitely do. I have to, you know, Shibutani's Improvised News is another suppressed book that everybody should read. And it says that in the times when information and news is suppressed, there's a rumor network, rumors develop, and that to the degree that we are in danger is to the degree that they are reliable. In other words, during war, the rumor network will be 99-100% reliable, whereas during peacetime with no pressure, there might be 40 or 50% or 60% reliable. I think we're in a very dangerous situation now, and I've heard so many stories coming at me from so many different angles, but they're all the same story. You know, the details may be...
There's a lot of places where all this stuff crosses, too.
Right, and if you take the approach of an intelligence analyst to all these facts, I think you can see the pattern of it.
Okay, we're going to go to our last break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. My guest is Walter Bauert. We're talking about mind control and UFOs. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. We'll be right back.
Paranet Information Services is your electronic window on the world of UFOs. Accessible by computer and modem. Paranet keeps you up to date on the world pulse of ufology with sighting reports, interesting findings, and general discussion on the mysterious UFO enigma. Paranet features one of the most comprehensive text file libraries in the world on the paranormal, available for a small online fee. So plug into power and knowledge through Paranet. The BBS number is available 24 hours a day. Call the data line at area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet Information Services at area 303-429-2654. That's 303-429-2654.
This is Fred Hayes. In 1970, I was a lunar module pilot for Apollo 13. During that mission, an onboard explosion caused us to abort our lunar landing. Our safe return home involved many workarounds. It underlined how important the human element is to space exploration. The space station is America's next step in manned space flight. If we're not careful, however, that important program could be canceled. $7 will be returned for every dollar spent on the effort. That's quite an important investment for the future, and to provide knowledge essential to the future of spaceship Earth. Some experts say that without the space station, we will have no manned space program. That would be a tragedy for our nation and a retreat from the progressive achievements of the past three decades. For information on how you can support the space station, call 1-800-84-SPACE. That's 1-800-84-SPACE.
You're listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet UFO Continuum, and it deals with one of the most fascinating subjects around. Once again, here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And we're in the last stretch of the program for the night. My guest is Walter Bauert, and we're talking about Operation Mind Control, a book that he has authored. And Walter, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. I understand that you're coming out with a second edition of this.
Yeah, well, it's about twice the size it used to be. We corrected the mistakes in the first edition and are bringing out a limited edition for researchers only, which I'm at Freethought, F-R-E-E-T-H-O-T, on America Online, if anybody wants to drop me a note and find out more about it.
Read that. Say that one more time, that address.
Freethought, F-R-E-E-T-H-O-T. That's the Freedom of Thought Foundation. That's Freethought, F-R-E-E-T-H-O-T, on America Online.
that's at @AOL.com.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, what's the Freedom of Thought Foundation? What is that?
Well, confronting this for almost 20 years now, I've been frustrated because there's all these people, it could be millions of people who have been the victims of mind control over 40 or 50 years, and they're looking for help. And there's basically nobody, right now the psychiatric and psychological mental health institution is not, the mental health system is not, it hardly exists, by the way, but it's not prepared to deal with this. It can't, tell me about your feelings doesn't get the job done. It needs deprogramming. And the psychologists and psychiatrists don't know how to do it. So we're trying to put together, one thing the Freedom of Thought Foundation is trying to do is to put together the people that can do it and teach the psychiatrist and psychologist how to deprogram using Ericksonian techniques. If you just give somebody drugs and put them in a hospital, it just suppresses it and makes it worse. But there are ways that a person that is suffering from dissociative identity disorder, which has been created, 20% of them have been created by the government. These are not my estimates. These are estimates of the professionals. And the question is, why is it being done? And, you know, some of it is just perversions and amusement of power.
So it's a lot of this is just motivated by being hungry for power.
By greed and power and all that stuff. The CIA seems to be like, if you find a senator or a judge or somebody that's got a taste for molesting children, they have these children, have a number of children, there's a whole white slave market of children that are programmed, they're dissociative identity children. They have a personality that is made to sexually perform this particular kind of bizarre, perverted thing that this judge would like, let's say, and they will send them in there, and then they'll photograph the judge with the child. The child may not remember it, probably won't remember it until he's an adult, but then they use these tapes to blackmail the judge and get what they want. So it's a very insidious and widespread thing. It includes the satanic and ritual abuse, the intelligence agencies funding and supporting a variety of weird cults who use blood ritual to trauma, whether it's with animals or children or human beings.
Do you think this is who might be behind the cattle mutilations?
What's the name of that movie that was about that? That's a very good movie, Bob.
Endangered Species, I think.
Yeah,
I was thinking of.
That was Endangered Species, indeed. It could be just like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we have to wrap it up tonight, Walter. I'm very. I think it sounds very like we're in some deep stuff if we don't dig ourselves out of it.
Well, you would expect this if indeed in 1947 we suddenly encountered a telepathic race with a higher technology, you know?
Uh-huh. That's pretty wild. Well, listen, thank you very much for being on the program, and keep us posted of any developments and keep us abreast of what's going on with it, okay?
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Okay, next week, we haven't got a guest lined up yet, but we have a couple of possibilities, and we'll see you next week. So until then, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.